And we are live. Yes, we are.
I mean, while we're recording this.
So, welcome to the Simply Ordinary Podcast. This is your host, Carlos Rodriguez. Across the way from me, my co-host, Aaron Guerra.
What up, people?
It's just us two for today. We're the only ones that are practically free right now.
Yeah, it's like 3:30 in the afternoon. Usually, we record late, but when we do that, we end up going to bed late. So, well, some of us have class in the morning, and it's a struggle waking up, you know?
And
so,
some of us even have school.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, work.
Yeah, work. But as long as we can get a good episode in, I guess we should be good.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? First things first, how's your day?
You know what? Like, okay, so I just got out of class, right? And, like, I was a little pissed off. So, I was taking, this was my criminal justice class. So, we were doing, like, group work. The first time in the semester that we're going to do group work. And so, he chose off numbers at random, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. We just went off by row by row. So, we got in our groups, and basically our job duty, whatever, was to, we were assigned a court case, and then we were supposed to identify the concept of the case and summarize the actual court case, summarize the court's opinion, and that was basically it. Simple, easy, right? Except if you don't have the book. So I didn't have the book, obviously. So it's like, another guy and I got partnered up, and like, I mean, it was like 6-7 people in our group. So then the guy next to me didn't have the book, and I was like, dang. But the girl across from us was like, oh, you could share our, like, mine, and I'll share it with this person, and like, so you guys can contribute. And I was like, all right, definitely, cool. So we're like, I'm reading, like, I'm on the left side, so I'm reading like the first page and this and that, and then like, I can see he's reading as well, but like, I guess I finished like my page before him, so I couldn't really like look over to the other page. So I don't want to be rude and be like, hey, like, let me scoot the book more, or, you know, because it's just like, I don't want to disturb his reading. So I was like, all right, like, I'll just get started on what I can. So I started with the court summary, you know, with the case summary. So I did that and everything, and then so I made like a brief summary, and then by that time, like, other people were finishing, and like, I didn't end up reading the opinion of the court. So I thought, like, oh, it wasn't a big deal, because I mean, we're gonna present, and obviously we do group presentations, like, certain people have certain tasks. So I was like, all right. So he comes up to us and he's like, all right, you guys ready to present this and that, like, probably after a few minutes. The professor comes up, and then like, our group just like, I'm looking at every other group, and they seemed organized, you know, they're a unit, and we're just like all over the place, you know.
Yeah, this is like the ingredients to make a horrible presentation of the group.
Exactly. So usually, like, I'm not a group leader. I don't like to be a group leader. I'll put in my work and stuff, but to go and present, like, that's not really my forte.
Okay.
You know?
You're kind of like a role player, you know, like, in sports.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, like I fill in, like, whatever necessary, you know, there's always a group leader. And in this group, like, nobody was taking initiative, and I'm like, damn. So like, I took in that role. I was like, all right, I'll be lead, you know? So I was like, all right, like, I'll start off with the case summary, you know? Like, how about one of you guys, like, do this? And then some other dude was like, yeah, I summarized the opinion, I could do that. I was like, all right, now somebody has to just, like, explain the concept, you know? And out of, so that's two of us, five other people in the group, all I heard was crickets, dude. I'm like, Jesus,
no way.
Like, come on, guys. And then one girl is like, oh, actually, like, why don't one of us just goes up and, like, just does the whole presentation? I'm like, okay, so, like, you got it? Like you're doing it? She's like, oh, no, not me. I mean, me. I'm like, obviously that, I mean, yeah, that ran through our heads. You know, we're hoping one person can go and do it. But first, like, you're not going to put all the work on one person, you know? Like we're a group, and, like, we're not even, like, really talking to each other. So it's like, damn. And, like I mean, I would take in that role as well, but I didn't get a chance to read the whole case. So I was like, I was like, all right, how about I'll do the concept, mm-hmm. I'll do the summary of the case, mm-hmm. and like homie will do the opinion.
Yeah.
You know? So they're like, all right, cool. So I knock them out. Like the concept was knowingly. So knowingly mm-hmm. means, like, well, in standpoint of criminal justice, it's your actions. Like, if you have the cognitive ability, mm-hmm. like your actions, you should be aware of your actions mm-hmm. as where they can lead to somewhere dangerous. You okay. know. So our okay, case yeah, yeah. was Jancy versus State. Mm-hmm. So Jancy was a defendant, mm-hmm. and he was he went with his roommate to her ex-husband's house, mm-hmm. and she went inside and she was talking with the ex-husband. They're having like a heated argument, mm-hmm. while him and another fellow roommate mm-hmm. were outside vandalizing his van.
What the heck?
Yeah. So then the ex-husband's name is Rex. Uh-huh. So they're vandalizing Rex's van, mm-hmm. and then Gansy had a knife on him, mm-hmm. but he was just using the knife to puncture holes in his in Rex's van, uh-huh. and the other guy was I think he was putting sugar in his gas tank or something like that.
Sugar in his gas tank?
Yeah, because like that'll whoa, okay. yeah that'll just like tear up the vehicle, you know. Uh-huh. So then Rex ends up going outside, uh-huh. and he sees Gansy. So he starts chasing him. So mm-hmm. Jancy starts running. He runs through a bicycle trail, you know, mm-hmm. like a dirt trail. Mm-hmm. So then Rex is like gaining on him. So he ends up like jumping in bushes and like waiting out while still holding a knife. Mm-hmm. And he was like hoping that Rex didn't see him jump in there, mm-hmm. but Rex did. So he jumps into the bushes after him, and they end up like rolling around and. He ends up getting stabbed. Rex ends up getting stabbed by the defendant's knife in the abdomen.
Whoa.
But the defendant said that at any point he doesn't remember thrusting the knife, mm-hmm. or even like he had no intent to hurt him.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
But. That's where the concept comes in. Mm-hmm. Like you have a knife on you. Mm-hmm. You're holding a knife. If you're getting chased, like then it crosses your mind to throw the knife away. Mm-hmm. You know, like so. Like even though he didn't have intent, mm-hmm. like he knows that a knife is dangerous. He mm-hmm. knows that can cause harm to people. Mm-hmm. So, like that's basically what the concept of knowing is.
So what is that like? Would he get charged with some like possession of a deadly weapon?
He got charged with, and once again, I didn't finish reading the whole case, but so he got charged with second degree, okay.
Murder.
Assault.
Assault. Okay.
Second
okay.
degree assault, yeah. And then he appealed, and mm-hmm. he ended up getting third degree.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So how does he jump from a second degree to a third degree?
So
first degree is like the worst one you can get, right? It's like the actual actual murder, right?
First degree murder, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Or manslaughter. Uh-huh. You know? So first he ended up with second, uh-huh. and then he appealed, and then he testified, and he said that he knew that uh-huh. he had the knife on him. He knew that. Like the knife was dangerous, so he had that cognitive ability to yeah. be aware. Mm-hmm. So, like, by seeing that, he kind of like dug his own grave. You know, mm-hmm. he's aware of his actions, even though he didn't have any malintent. Mm-hmm. You know, he had mens reis, mm-hmm. which is basically the thought didn't occur to his head to harm, mm-hmm. but the action was still committed. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So then. So he ended up with third mm-hmm. degree assault.
So, at least when you get into a lot of these subjects and stuff like that, when people accidentally kill someone, you know, mm-hmm. like, do you, at least in your opinion, do you feel you should get charged? Like, the person who ended up, like, doing the crime, mm-hmm. you think they should get charged? Or is there some type of psychology that comes behind it that you think, yeah, this guy possibly was armed, but well, not the intention, but... So he shouldn't get tried as bad as someone who's actually mm-hmm. looking for stuff like that.
Well, if you find, I feel personally, if you find reason beyond doubt that mm-hmm. that person had the intent to, then yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you're at a shooting range, right? Mm-hmm. You're at a shooting range with your friend Bob, mm-hmm. and you have the gun loaded, and you aim it at Bob's head, and you shoot. Mm-hmm. Like, that, like, someone's there, someone sees that, mm-hmm. that's beyond reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, you had that intent to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you same scenario, mm-hmm. you're with your friend Bob, you're aiming at the target, mm-hmm. and just right when you pull the trigger, Bob trips, and he falls into a line of fire, mm-hmm. and you're already shot, and the bullet strikes and kills him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like, for that, mm-hmm. I wouldn't penalize the person. Okay. You know, because even though it's still manslaughter, even mm-hmm. though, like, you still killed Bob, mm-hmm. like, you had no intent to do it. Mm-hmm. So if I feel like if you find that intent, or, like, even if you don't find that intent, but there's, like, maybe different precursors that could lead to that,
yeah,
then definitely.
And yeah, it makes it difficult, at least when you have a jury.
Yeah,
when you put your fate on the hands of a jury, it's kind of hard to say, or not even say, just let them be the ones to judge you, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of people might have a laissez faire like mindset.
Yeah,
they let something take their own course, you know. Mm-hmm. let's see what happens to him down the road, you know.
Yeah.
If we let him go right now, what if he does the same thing later? So, you know, the system itself right now, it's kind of hard to go through it. Yeah. I guess, you know, I remember when I know a couple people that have gotten jury duty, and they've been like almost to the selection of being part of like the whole court process. And I don't know if you ever sat into like a courthouse or something like that and going to watch like the trial and stuff. Uh-huh. The defendant or the defendant, who it goes, like the defendant and the, then
defendant and plaintiff
and the plaintiff's
the person suing,
right? Okay, the defendant is allowed to choose who he wants to have on the jury. He could choose people who he wants. Who will give him the better opportunity to become or to be to win the case?
I'm pretty sure it's pre-selected.
Pre-selected, right? So yeah, you get a bunch of people in there, yeah. And when it comes down to it, he's allowed to pick it too. So he could like, oh, I want him on there.
I don't think you can do that. Choose.
You can do that.
Really?
Yeah. And. It basically makes it fair for him and the plaintiff, you know. So
I don't see how that'd be fair to the plaintiff. Like,
well, because I believe that if the plaintiff is the one suing, right? Yeah. So he has a word to who he wants up there as well.
Uh-huh. So I'd say that they both get to choose.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I remember
because I remember I was doing a report on a case, mm-hmm. and. First they go through like a psych evaluation, see mm-hmm. if they're okay, and they go through like different evaluations, like people from different, you know, different political views, people different ages, you mm-hmm. know. It's just like just all selected differently. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it varies from state to state, but
it could possibly go from state to state, but it could possibly not. I don't know. I don't really know how well this, like, this whole court system goes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's never been in court. Don't want to be in court. I mean, if I was gonna sue someone, it would have been Ventura County for me. They put a DUI on my record when I was even. That must have been one of the greatest parties I've ever been to, because I didn't remember getting pulled over. But regardless of, I would never want to put my life's hands in a jury, you mm-hmm. know, because it could go either way.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of cases where
the OJ,
exactly, the OJ case. When do you first things first? Do you believe OJ is innocent?
I didn't follow it closely, uh-huh. but from like what I've seen, like mm-hmm. he's serving time now, isn't he?
I think he's serving time for something else. I don't think it's for the murder. It? Yeah.
I don't really know.
You know, if you watch that 30 for 30, was it 30 for 30? From
don't they have a show like on it?
Well, they have a show where Cuba Gooding Jr. plays OJ.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one. It's on FX, but ESPN did a amazing documentary on it. Mm-hmm. And it was a 5-part series that they showed the whole trial going through, and that the whole documentary itself, man, it left it up to you if you wanted him to be guilty or not guilty. Mm-hmm. At least for me, I seen too much stuff to lean over to him being guilty. Mm-hmm. And especially that he in the eyes of society was the big at the time was a huge person, you know. Football player, one of the greatest football players, was
like a celebrity,
you know. So at least how I'm seeing it, this guy probably thought he'd get away with anything. And now cases are starting to come up where these football players are becoming more and more ruthless. Mm-hmm. They're more domestic violence. So how do you know at that time he wasn't taking something? You know, he wasn't taking something that to say that it pushed him to do all that. You know, it pushed him to actually kill his wife. I mean, and he was banging the Kardashian, the mom. Yeah.
Oh wow.
But and his lawyer was her husband.
That definitely is Kardashian, you know.
Damn Kardashians, right?
That's crazy.
So, getting to a different subject, I was listening to an awesome Radiolab podcast, and this was sitting on my feed for a while, and I finally decided to listen to it, and this really opened my eyes up to like, hey, fuck, there's some people that have it worse than I do, you know. Some people have it worse than we do.
Yeah.
So there's a girl, her name is Alicia Faith Pennington, who they say is the girl who doesn't exist.
And why do they say that?
This girl was an at home birth. Uh-huh. She
like a home birth.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Her parents never took her to go get registered, get her a social security number,
her birth certificate.
Never took her to do any of that. She has never been. She had never been to the doctor. She had never been to the dentist. She never went to school. She got homeschooled. Mm-hmm. Her parents didn't believe that she should even be allowed to leave the house.
Oh wow!
So there were a family of 9 people, mm-hmm. And none of them, all of them grew up on the same ranch in Texas. Uh-huh. So she said the only reason why they would leave their ranch was to go to church. And that was on some occasions. That was on rare occasions. Uh-huh. They wouldn't go to church very often.
Oh, wow.
And it's sad to believe that supposedly her parents were the idealistics of that. They want to rebel against the government by being born in the United States and not having anything here, like not being able to prove anything, citizenship, so they can't tax them, they can't do anything, so they can't even, so I guess their parents' mind was we don't want our kids to grow up as everyone else.
Oh, so they did it like intentionally. Oh wow.
Yeah, so I guess when she was 19 years old and she really wanted to leave the house now. Uh-huh. I guess her older sister, I think she has two older sisters and one older brother, because she was the fourth one. Uh-huh. So the oldest sister was 23 and she wanted to leave the house. Or she wanted to get a job. Uh-huh. And her parents said no. Her other sister wanted to get a cell phone. Her parents said no.
But you said she had two older sisters?
Yeah.
And what did these older sisters do?
They're just at home.
Just at home?
Yeah.
What do you know what the dad does, by any chance?
The dad, they didn't mention, because they couldn't get the interview with the parents. The parents didn't want to come on there.
Okay.
So, and she didn't really speak much about them. She was really talking more about the fact that she finally left the house, and it was because she basically forced herself to leave the house. Mm-hmm. because left with her grandparents. Now, check this. Her grandparents do not have the same views as the parents. Mm-hmm. The grandparents, they believe that they should have gotten their birth certificates, their social security and everything from when they were young. So now this girl's a 19-year-old girl coming out into this world that, as you and me know it, and you and I know it, it's a cruel fucking world, you know.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And we've been in it for over 20 years, mm-hmm. and we still don't even know how society functions sometimes.
Yeah.
Just imagine a young girl at the age of 19. There's 18 years of her life wasted, 19 now, you know, and now she's coming onto this world that she has to pay taxes. She has to, school is a huge factor in this too. We don't know what she was learning from her parents.
Yeah,
you know, I guess they never even had a TV at their house, and they never even had, or they had internet, but it was very limited, and they could only go on certain websites.
Oh wow!
Just imagine growing up and going up like that. In a way, you know, it does teach, you know, how to grow up. Well, not even grow up, just how to better your life without technology.
But right now, like in the U.S. anyways, like, it's very technologically based.
Yeah,
I got it. So it's like if you deprive somebody of that, and then you put them in, like, I mean, just think about it. Like, if you never worked really, if you're not so used to using a computer, and you try to be like a cashier or something, like, it's not like back then, which is like little cashier box with little calculator you put in. No, it's like, no, it's all electronic, you know. If they want to sign the credit card or whatever, like, you have to prompt them, you know. So it's like,
yeah, and we do live in a society where now we can't, our cell phone doesn't ever leave our hand.
No, exactly. Yeah, now you could pick up, what's that, Apple Pay, you know, Android Pay, Samsung Pay.
You could forget your wallet at home, and you could just be in the mall and say, hey, I feel like buying this shirt. You could be somewhere, just, I feel like buying this with my phone.
Yeah, definitely.
And now even video games and stuff. So I feel as a society, we're losing the ability to socialize.
I mean,
because we're getting the virtual reality.
But I mean, at the same time, like, think about it. Like, what about people who have family in other countries, you know, and like, back then they'd only be able to call, you know, but now they can call, they can text, they can video chat. So like, there's downfalls, but then there's also like good things that come from it.
There will always be a plus to technology.
Yeah,
but how I'm seeing it is, technology is in the way it's going now, you know, the virtual reality side is coming in now. You know, exercising, we're gonna be able to do that from home now. It all started with the Wii.
Yeah,
you know, now Kinect took it so far. I think PlayStation's, I'm pretty sure they're gonna be working on something way more advanced.
Well, they have the Move, which is basically like the Wii. They're coming out with it's a VR, so it's a virtual reality, but it looks pretty cool. It looks pretty cool. I've seen some videos on it. It's pricey right now. But.
Oh, yeah. And first of all, at least right, everything that's brand new, basically, you can say that it's going to be very pricey.
What, have you heard of Google Cardboard?
No, I've not heard of that.
You've seen those VR headsets, right? So, actually, I've seen one at, not Ross, what's that other one?
Marshall's.
I seen one at Marshall's. $15
for a
headset.
No way, where
you put your phone, like one of those.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh damn, like that's cheap. I should have gotten it. But I was kind of like, eh, you know. But the Google Cardboard, so Google made their own headset, but it's made out completely out of cardboard. And it's just like really, really minuscule. It doesn't have a strap, so you have to hold it with your hand. But it's only like $2-4, like it's cheap. What? Maybe $8.
Okay.
But I mean, it's like first step into VR. Like, let's say when they came out with that, VR was, they were pricey, you know. Even like the basic low model ones were like pricey, you know.
Yeah.
So then Google's like, hey, why not make like the minuscule cheap one, and then like just let people be able to enjoy it, you know, without having to pay a lot. So I have yet to try it out, but it seems cool.
I hear virtual reality is really changing the game, man. It's getting way more advanced, and that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not even leave the house at one point anymore to go exercise at the most. You know, we're gonna be able to exercise right from our bedroom.
Yeah,
go out to a regular gym and box. I guarantee you, virtual reality brings something into that.
Or imagine like sporting events. You know, like pay like a pay-per-view kind of thing, and bam, you got front row seats, you know?
There you go.
Like, that's insane.
That will take it to a whole new level, man.
Definitely.
That, just imagine that. You basically, these they advanced so far, I guess. I mean, I don't even know how I could even say this could happen in the next 10 years. You never know.
Right now they have like a legit one, mm-hmm. like, but it's like a backpack kind of thing you have mm-hmm. to put on, mm-hmm. and it's like pretty advanced, mm-hmm. but I mean, I don't know the price on it, but right now it's like expensive.
And now it's going to set up for people, like, if you've never been a football game, just watch. In a couple years, you're gonna be able to sit in like front row.
Yeah.
From virtual reality.
That's crazy.
Just imagine that. This isn't gonna go as far as we can take it, you know. And
yeah.
And we were actually talking about this the other day. I think it was with on the podcast with Luis and Carlos,
mm-hmm.
that technology today is, we're not even close to the point where we're advanced.
Mm-hmm.
We're still pioneers coming yeah. up in this world, you know.
Definitely.
Just imagine what's going to happen in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, from 2010 to 2016, how much have we advanced?
Thinking Tesla has those self-driving vehicles.
Dude, have you seen those?
Those are crazy.
Have you seen like the videos of those?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God. It's crazy. Those. As long as they're right now they're not so advanced as of yet, but they are. If you mean they are pretty fucking advanced.
Like, I seen them driving, and it's just like you put the destination in, and it does the rest. Like, it calculated the drive on its own. It calculated which lane was going faster. It did turns on its own, and it was able to judge the speed of the car going in front. So it's like its braking is like phenomenal, you know.
So road trip and drinking, I'll take that on any day.
I'll be in the back seat though, because yeah. you know, you open bottle law, you can't have alcohol, you know.
But are they gonna adjust a lot of that? If self driving
like
cars,
some places they'll like restrict that, you mm-hmm. know. Like right now, since it's like brand new, like only like certain people mm-hmm. might have it, you know. Just because like I know the model. It's like Model S. Like they dropped a new one. It's like a little bit over $100,000. So I mean, they're pricey cars, you know. Mm-hmm. So only a few people have them. Yeah, I see them. We live in California, so I see one at least one every time I drive.
But so when we say like it stays on its lane, right? Like it the cameras on each end.
Yeah, sensors all over. So, 17 sensors or something.
So what does it do if it can't read the lines? Because you know there are some areas where you can't, the yeah. middle lines don't even exist anymore, yeah. basically, because they're so like worn out.
Well, it's like sensor based. So okay. like let's say like you're in the middle lane, and the let's say there's no lines, right? It'll sense like the two cars next to you, and then the car in your rear and the car in front. So it'll just like keep at a pace with the rest of the flow, kind of thing.
That's becoming ingenious, man. I feel that would be a lot easier for people like nowadays, because nowadays the whole drinking and driving is a huge thing in this country. You know, nowadays they're getting you for anything close to 0.08 now. You know. Even if you have a little bit of alcohol in your system, they're still going to...
mouthwash.
Yeah. Exactly. There's a possibility they could still take you in because the cop says, oh, I don't know if this guy's been drinking or something before this. Even though you have a little bit of blood alcohol level in you, there's still a possibility they will take you in and for to jail for like just a couple hours.
But I kind of side like just with like the cops, because it's like they don't really know like what your limit is, you know? And... if like, who knows, like maybe if they weren't there, the next car that was coming up could have been like a car with kids in it, you know. And then like you wouldn't want like a tragedy happen. So I kind of see it like, you know, could you have made it home, you know, safely? Yeah, definitely. But like, why risk it, you know? If you're gonna drink, like, there's Lyft, there's Uber.
And those things have changed it so the much for people, you know. They've changed the game so much. So now we get to the whole self-driving car now. What if now all you need to do is, before you leave your car to go to, like, let's say you're gonna go to a bar, you put in, I'm gonna go here right after, once I turn on my car again.
Well, I feel like the laws will prohibit, like, even if it's self-driving, mm-hmm. for you to, like, be intoxicated or mm-hmm. for there not to be a person in the driver's seat.
Like, give you an excuse to go out and drink and be in the car while you're drinking, you know?
Well, I mean, like, even then, like, I wouldn't, like, let's say I was in one, like, I wouldn't fully trust the car at mm-hmm. the same time, because even when it's on the self-drive mode, mm-hmm. you can, like, the moment you yourself hit the brakes, mm-hmm. like, you stop the self-driving system. Right? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like I wouldn't really trust it.
Right now, no one, at least I wouldn't trust it. Yeah. I don't even trust those self-parking cars. I was with a friend of mine, and he actually did. He parallel parked with that, and I was tripping out, man.
It
parked by itself.
That is crazy.
And I was sweating when I got out of that car, man. I was like, dude, this is intense.
Did it park well though? Was it like 6 inches away from the curve?
I still think I parked way better.
You do, hell yeah.
But it did a really good job. I'm not gonna lie. But at the same time, like, I can't trust it just yet. You know,
yeah.
It's still not to that point, to that level yet, to say that every single car is doing that, you know. And we're gonna lose ability of kids growing up and saying, "I have to learn how to drive." Now it's like, you know, Mom, I'm gonna take my car to the fucking. I'm gonna take my car to the mall.
Well, like I feel like we're kind of losing that now. Like, when I used to be a Lyft driver, you know that. Mm-hmm. Like, there'd be times where I'd pick up like teenagers, mm-hmm. you know, like high schoolers. Like, Lyft says you have to be 18 and over mm-hmm. to use their resources, mm-hmm. you know. But like, they're like kids, you know, like mm-hmm. 14, 13, and just like getting a ride and going wherever. Like, now imagine, like, they got the ability to go anywhere they want now, mm-hmm. you know, which puts them like in a dangerous place. Yeah,
because I remember when we were in school, we had to wait to get a ride.
Yeah.
Or get picked up by a friend who didn't even have a license at the time, probably, you know?
Or just ride the bus, you mm-hmm. know, school bus back mm-hmm. home, walk, bike.
Yeah.
That was it. Only way. It's like, okay, oh, like, I missed the bus. Mm-hmm. Like, no, everybody's already gone home. Like, mm-hmm. what am I going to do? I'm going to walk home, you know?
Yeah. And
that happened to me a couple of times.
And kids nowadays, they do have it way better than at least we did when we were growing up. Because exactly like you said, like, if the kid decides to go to his friend's house, he could just like, Mom, can you order me an Uber so I can go to my friend's house?
Or they can just have the Uber on their phone.
Yeah, exactly. You
know
what I mean? Yeah.
Like, who knows? Like, they could just like grab their mom's credit card or mm-hmm. whatever, put, you know, scan it, mm-hmm. and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Get an Uber there.
You know, but I feel like if a parent wants to be irresponsible and responsible at the same time.
Uh-huh.
They would, if they do decide to send their kid on an Uber, they would put it in their phone and they could keep track of where they're at, you know?
That
could be an option, but still at the same time, if you want to be responsible, go drop them off yourself and go pick them up yourself. Yeah. Don't leave it in the hands of a stranger.
Yeah, like luckily, like with my parents anyways, mm-hmm. I never had like the issue where I don't have a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom or my dad were always like willing to give me a ride.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, would they allow me to go do whatever I was going to do, you know?
That was a tough part.
That was the hiccup, you know? Other mm-hmm. people, like, I'd be like, hey, like, come over, this and that. It's like, oh, I would, but I don't have a ride. And mm-hmm. then I'd be like, oh, like, why can't you? I'll give you a ride.
Uh-huh.
And, like, on the other spectrum, they'd be like, hey, like, come over, like, you have a ride. It's like, yeah, I have a ride, but I can't go. My mom ain't letting me, you know?
the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days.
when you use your mom's excuse when you're, like, going over somewhere, you know? Remember those days?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you don't feel like going hanging out with friends. Like,
I'm grounded, dude. I can't.
Grounded in high school?
Grounded for a day. And then there was, like, no Snapchat. Or there was Snapchat, but I think it was just, like, beginning.
Yeah.
Instagram, I don't think it hit till like senior year.
No, Instagram hit sophomore year, I think it was.
Sophomore
and junior year, I think, around there.
Well, I mean, I didn't get a smartphone till junior year. I got the iPhone 3G.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. I do remember that. So, I think Instagram did hit around that time, which is 2010. 2010 was starting to come up a lot. 2011 was like it was at its hugest peak. 2011, 2012 was like at a really big high in the world. Now it's Snapchat. So what's the next thing that's gonna come up?
You know,
because remember Facebook replaced MySpace.
Yeah.
And then
MySpace replaced AOL Messenger.
Yeah, there you go. And then I think it was it Twitter who replaced Facebook? But because Twitter is still pretty famous.
It is. It is. A lot of people tweet. I personally don't have a Twitter, but Simply Ordinary has a Twitter.
Yes, we do.
Follow us
for sure. But it is getting to nowadays where we can't do anything without posting stuff, you know. Me personally, I like posting a lot of stuff up because I'm very active. I'm not very, very active on it, but I like posting up like random stuff up, especially like of
stuff
art
of interest.
Yeah. But I'm tired of seeing people's pictures of their food. Unless it's like some like over like we went to some restaurant, they fucking
4-course meal, yeah, you know, like, had Jeff Ramsey on there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whoa, what's that other chef, that one, Guy Fieri? If he made that shit, you better put it on there. But so these all these social media sites and the apps and stuff like that, and they have taken over this world.
Yeah. Well, I feel like right now, like, Instagram's kind of dying out. Like,
yeah.
Like, I go on Instagram here and there, and I don't... Maybe it's just based on the people I follow.
I don't even have an Instagram anymore. I don't even have a Facebook anymore.
I still have a Facebook. I rarely go on it. Mm. Rarely. Probably, like, once a month, maybe.
Damn.
But...
So why even have it? Right?
Well, sometimes, like, my cousin from Mexico will, message me or whatever.
So he has to wait a month to get a reply?
Yeah, basically. But on Instagram, mainly the only people posting now are like just those like celebrity pages, mm-hmm. or just like, you know, mm-hmm. but like actual people I know, mm-hmm. it's
all on Snapchat now.
Even Snapchat is going down a bit.
Kind of, yeah.
I feel like right now, like a new thing is going to hit.
There has to be. Something new has to hit.
Something's
going to grab more people's attention.
Remember Vine?
Oh, Vine was pretty, but Vine is still somewhat big, but in the Twitter world, because they do have like Vine fights and like something always connected to Vine. Okay. So they still are pretty famous on Twitter, but there's certain things that you just can't top. It's like Google. No one will take out Google anytime
soon.
That's
like the best search engine.
Ask at one point tried it, but it just didn't. It couldn't.
Top
Yahoo. Google. Yahoo tried it. It's trying it still. Mm. Still can't top Google. Google. If you would invested when Google first started up, I forgot how much the number was the other day, but you would have probably been well over a millionaire, close to probably $20 million in your bank account. If you would probably invested a good $1,000 when Google started up.
Uh-huh.
Just imagine that off of an internet server like that, man. It's not even an internet server. It's generally just a website that leads you to information.
Search engine.
Yeah, search engine. There you go. So, what is going to top Google? Nothing.
Google, have you heard of Google Fiber?
No.
So, Google Fiber is, in certain places, Google installs, internet lines and cables.
Okay.
So, then they, for wherever facilities they have, mm-hmm. and like wherever the line runs, they'll mm-hmm. offer the Google Fiber to, you know, people in the surrounding area, and it's like the best internet, fastest internet you can get, and it's like relatively cheap.
What?
Yeah, and like they can offer that just because like they make so much money.
Oh heck yeah! So, it's supposedly Google's voted one of the best places to work on planet Earth.
Oh yeah, I mean. Anybody from Google's listening, you can hire me.
Hell yeah. I don't even mind being a janitor there, man. Just imagine all the benefits you probably get from them. Just imagine all the people you're around that are...
intellectual,
And you know, Google probably doesn't even... They don't even look for the smartest people in the world. They don't look for like you graduated from this college, you must be the smartest person. They look for the people who are thinking outside the box instead of trying to stay in the box and think of like what's the right way to do things.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Google became so big, because two people decided to take this search engine and it's like, hey, we're gonna make this free, but we're gonna, when people search something up, we're gonna make it as quick as possible and efficient, and it's always gonna be at a hand's reach, you know. Yeah. All you need to do is go on Google and bam, every phrase nowadays, if you don't know something, google it.
It's like, let's see, they got Google has phones, mm-hmm. As I mentioned, they have internet provider,
self-driving cars on their campus.
Yeah, self-driving cars. They have a satellite. Mm-hmm. That's where you get like Google Maps. They got GPS. Mm-hmm. They have. I had one on the tip of my tongue. Phones? Did I say phone?
Yeah, you said phones.
Yeah, they have like.
Well, Google Maps is.
Oh, they have their own extreme. Internet Explorer, which I use myself, Chrome.
So Chrome is awesome.
It is.
At first, I remember it was like, at one point, it was Firefox.
Firefox, yeah. I never really
use
Firefox.
I use Firefox. I used to use it a lot. Uh-huh. Now, Google Chrome for everything. But back to like the whole Google Maps, how you mentioned it. Google Maps, it's a powerful device, man. It's a powerful thing that we have at every phone now. Uh-huh. Every single phone has it. And just imagine if they would install something like this. When your car breaks down, a click of a button, Google sends a message out to the nearest by tow truck.
You mean like OnStar?
Kind of like OnStar, but it's replacing that now because everyone's on their phone.
Yeah.
So now it's like, if you're getting maps to somewhere, right? You're getting directions to somewhere. Now you can just from a click of a button, boom. You don't have to talk to anyone. Google just sends someone to you.
Well, I mean, like the problem with that would be like, what about the fees? You know.
Yeah, the fees, definitely the fees. But it will definitely just getting people, a lot of these companies in line, or signing up for something, mm-hmm. to say, okay, I'm gonna be part of Google.
Yeah,
you know, Google just like, okay, if you do this, well, how much they'll pay you, but you don't pay us or something like that, mm-hmm. or you give us like 20 cents for what you make or something like that for that day, just going to help them out because it's a benefit to Google, because if you use Google Maps, just imagine Google Maps could connect you to people if your car breaks down, mm-hmm. right?
Email Google, bro.
Email
them, be like, I got this idea.
Hire me. I'm thinking out of the box, but staying relatively in it. But just at least nowadays, man, I think technology is gonna take us to somewhere we have never been to, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna go crazy with this shit, and we're talking about self-driving cars. What's next? Flying cars?
That'd be cool, but I feel like.
And every single like futuristic episode we see flying cars.
But I mean, like, how would you like control like the traffic flow?
Or, like, I don't. That's exactly what comes to my head.
Unrestricted airspace, you know? Like, I don't know. I feel like that.
Well, like cars flying over the fucking place, you know, like just swerving and shit like that. I know I'd be doing stupid shit.
Lack of privacy, you know, you'd be in the backyard doing whatever you do, and you sneak in your chonies and your underwear, and then somebody's right there videotaping you from the flying car hovering above you. Like, damn,
like Harry Potter all over again. Right? Right? You remember that self-driving car, Harry Potter?
That's cool.
Yeah, you know how Ron just got near Harry's window. If you think about it now, that's fucking creepy.
Imagine
that dude was like kind of like whacking or something like that, or about to smash some chick. And Ron just pulls up. He's like, "Oh, Harry, I'm here to take you to Hogwarts." Like, motherfucker, I'm about to get late. Why are you interrupting me?
Remind me, what are you doing here?
Wait, doesn't on the last book, doesn't Hermione and Ron end up hooking up?
I don't know if they hook up, mm-hmm. but in the last movie, they're like together.
What? And then I think Harry hooks up with Ron's sister.
Ron's sister, yeah.
Damn, yep. It's a family affair. It's a family. But have you seen? Have you seen?
Over the summer, I watched the whole.
The whole trilogy? Not even trilogy, it's like the whole.
Seven Leagues. The whole series, I watched them all.
J.K. Rowling, man, she's creative. She's super creative, man. Yeah. To take it that far,
yeah.
You know, and she's still brighter than
me. Yeah, she came out like Curse of the Child or something like that.
I think that's the.
But it's more like a playwright.
More of a playwright?
Yeah, so it's not like written like story form, it's written like. like a playwright, you know what that is, right? Like Harry, like you'll read like what, like it'll show what the character's speaking.
Yeah,
and it won't be like a third person.
Yeah, see, the movie's called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, she came out with a new movie?
Yeah, it's a new movie.
Oh, wow.
And
I meant the book, the new Harry Potter book.
Well, she did come out with a new book, but the new movie she came, of a book she wrote, it's a spin-off prequel of Harry Potter series and directed by David Yates, a film. I just want to find out what more the movie is about. Oh, here's a synopsis, okay? In 1926, Newt Scamander, I don't know how to say his name. I don't know. J.K. Rowling be putting some weird ass names in these books. Arrives at a magical congress of the United States of America for a meeting with an important official. At this meeting is a magically expanded briefcase which houses a number of dangerous creatures and their habits. When the creatures escape from the briefcase, it sends the American wizarding authorities after Newt. Don't want to get more into this, so I don't want to ruin the movie for anyone. But
have you seen it?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Okay,
so I haven't seen it. But
has it come out?
It did come out already, actually.
Okay.
It did already come out. Actually, no, it comes out November 18th.
Okay.
So that's something interesting to look into, because J.K. Rowling has always brought some good movies, or not movies but books. Mm-hmm. But those books can turn into good movies. Yeah. Harry Potter itself became a masterpiece.
Whole franchise, and,
yeah, exactly.
Where is it at? Universal Studios or Disney?
Whatever. Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Because they first started off in Orlando. And I went to the one in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
And now the imagination that goes into all that stuff, man, it's over the line.
Mm-hmm.
To finally experience the world that she made.
Mm-hmm. Like firsthand.
Yeah. Yes. It was pretty cool. They had butterbeer.
Oh, really? How's that taste?
It's nasty, but I got it just for the experience, man. Yeah,
it looked good in the movie.
It looked good. It looked good, but
what it tastes like?
Okay.
I'm thinking like pecans. I don't know why I'm thinking pecans, but like a nutty flavor, you know?
I can't really remember the taste too well, just because it was about, I think, 4 years last time I went to Florida.
Uh-huh.
So to the one in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
So I can't really remember.
It wasn't like an alcoholic beverage, though.
No, anyone could get that. Yeah, okay. It's little kids running around with butter beer and shit. Like, man, don't get fucked up. and they finally put it in the LA one, LA Universal Studios. And I, from what I think, they might even start expanding.
Yeah,
I think they might start expanding. But if anything, I think this world that she created has gone over the line, but I think we are definitely getting to the end of our podcast today.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and hope you guys definitely did enjoy it today. But we'll be back for another episode later
today. Actually,
today, yes, we're gonna bring out two episodes in one day. We're gonna see how that works out. We are gonna have Carlos Valdez on this later on today. So hope you guys do enjoy it. To close it out, this is Carlos Rodriguez, and across the way from me, Aaron Guerra.
Yo, yo.
Hope you guys enjoyed the Simply Ordinary podcast.